Adam here, and you are listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Coming up next is a replay of Sunday, December 11th, Sunday service, with a message from Pastor Raph and music from Sylvia and the worship team.
Good morning. Good morning. If I could all get you to take a seat. Can you hear me? Oh, that's better. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. So good morning. Good morning to our radio listeners. I have a little story that I would like to share first, and it's about a Christmas gift that kept on giving. And I thought it was appropriate as we're entering the Christmas season. And it's all about giving and what God gave us, that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What an amazing gift that we receive in that. So this is by Connie Caceres. Someone needed that Christmas basket more than me. Give and you shall receive. I looked for a card or a note with a basket filled to the brim with all sorts of holiday foodstuffs. There was none. Had someone entered my name into a Salvation Army charity, the timing couldn't have been better. It would go a long way in tiding us over till my next paycheck. At that very moment, I felt a ripple of guilt. Wasn't there someone else out there who needed it more? Yes, my kids and I were struggling, but my grandparents and Aunt Shirley, who was deaf, relied solely on Social Security and a disability checks, and sometimes pooling their resources to get by. At least I could always pick up extra hours at work, and when I finished my degree, things would improve a lot. My conscience won the debate. I drove to Grandma and Grandpa's little two-room house just across the street from Aunt Shirley's. Grandma opened the door. "Merry Christmas, Grandma," I said. Grandma was thrilled. "Oh, thank you, Connie. We'll be able to have such a nice dinner this Sunday. This will really help us until our checks come. But what about you?" "We'll be fine," I said. After a short visit, I excused myself. "I still have lots of chores, so I should head back." On the way home, thinking about Grandma's smile, I knew the basket had gone to the right place. But like Grandma said, what about us? I still worried about how I could afford to make Christmas special for my kids. Then I saw it in front of my house, in the same spot as before, an identical Christmas basket, every bit as lovely as the first. What a beautiful testimony of what God has for us in store. Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, and establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And then I have a reading from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. And it's a beautiful picture of what we can look forward to. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. And this is the part that I think is just amazing, and what we can look forward to. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them, and the cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner, for the peoples and the nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what we can look forward to? So, if you would join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. And thank you for the foretaste of what you have given us of what is to come, Lord. So let us hold fast to that promise. Lord, we want to lift up the sick today. We want to lift up especially Andrea Wedge and her sister as they're in Cancun and they have gotten food poisoning or they're sick. So we pray for your healing touch upon them so they might enjoy the remainder of their holiday. We pray for Mick and sister whose mother has passed away, Lord. We pray for the comfort and the peace that passes all understanding, that your loving arms would surround them during this time as they mourn the loss of their mother. We pray for our community. We pray for the unbelievers, Lord, that they would turn to you. We pray for the hungry, that you would provide for them. For the homeless, that you would give them shelter and warmth. Those that don't have a bed, that you would give them a bed. For the addicted, Lord, that they would be released from their addictions. For the oppressed, Lord, we pray for the unborn. We pray for the war-torn countries. We pray especially for the Ukraine and Russia and Afghanistan. Lord, that we pray for our believing brothers and sisters. We pray that you would strengthen them, and that this would be a time that their resolve would strengthen and they would hold fast and steadfast to your promises, Lord, that you will never leave them nor forsake them, that you will always be there with them. We pray for Israel, Lord, that little country. Lord, they are your chosen people. We pray your hand of protection upon them. We pray for Iran. We pray for the people that are standing up against the atrocities and the oppression. We pray for China, Lord. We pray for our believing Christian brothers and sisters in those countries, Lord, again, that you would strengthen them and their resolve to stand firm and stand fast, Lord. We're thankful for a church that preaches your word. We're thankful for our daily provisions. We're thankful for our health. We're thankful for the healing of the many sick that you have so provided for us, Lord. We pray for safety, warm homes. We're thankful for the food on our table, Lord. Lord, we pray for the leaders of our community, leaders of our country, Lord. Lord, you have appointed them to do good, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that there would be a turning, there would be a repentance, that they would repent and turn, that they would humble themselves and turn from their ways, Lord. That they would seek your face so that our lands can be healed, Lord. We're just so thankful, Lord, that we can bring our prayers and petitions before you. Let us not forget the healthcare workers that are standing up and that are asking to be put back to work. There's so many people that have lost their jobs through this mandate. We pray, Lord, that you would provide a way for them. So, Lord, We're just so thankful that we can bring our prayers and petitions before you. We thank you for that amazing love that you shower upon us day by day. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to sing, O Come, Emmanuel. Let's just make that a prayer of our hearts. Welcome him into your life.
O Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear.
Oh,
just bless you. We just want to thank you so much that you are the King of all kings, Lord. Through all of time, you remain seated. You remain seated in full authority, the highest authority over all. And God, we bow before you. We bow before you because you, God, took on such a lowly form, a brand new born baby, completely vulnerable. And you came, Jesus. You were willing to come into our dark world. And we just say that we want to worship you, Lord, just like the shepherds did, just like the angels did, just like the kings from far away did. Lord, we want to worship you. You are the long-expected Messiah, and you fulfilled everything to a T, Lord. We just bless you.
Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee.
He's the bread of life. He's the one that gives us the water that will never, ever make us go dry.
All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in. Stream of life.
one more time. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We see. For your presence, Lord, that you are Emmanuel, God with us, Lord. We just ask that you would open our eyes to see you, oh God. Lord, open our eyes that we wouldn't be blind to what you're doing, that we wouldn't be hardened to your spirit. Lord, open our eyes, we pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, oh God, and a heart that's soft to your spirit, oh God. We ask this in Jesus' name.
I see the King of Glory.
People. Please be seated. I'm just so blessed to have worship teams that love the Lord and want to enter into worship. Praise God. Now is a good time for the kids to head downstairs for their lessons today. Well, how is the body of Christ today? How is this assembly doing today? Are you looking forward to the Christmas season? Well, we've had some interesting Christmases over the years. Christmas in Jordan. It's not what you would think. It's very different. Christmas in Israel is not what you think either. And you think, you know, I'm sure there's many believers that think, wow, I just love to be in Israel, the place where it all happened. Well, you know, it's pretty special. I have to say that, but it's different. Different than what we know. And I think that people sometimes have sort of a love-hate relationship with Christmas. I've heard people tell me that they stopped celebrating, you know, because it became too commercial. They didn't really like, you know, getting caught up in all that. And that's understandable. But, you know, I think that for myself, each year I just see that it's a reminder for us to remember what God has done. We come face to face with the gift of God in Jesus Christ. And how he did something so upside down, so different than how we would do it, how anyone would do things. The King of Kings brought into this world in such an obscure and strange way. It baffles the mind, doesn't it, when we think about it? And you know, we have to kind of plow through all that stuff to get to the core, to get back to the meaning of Christmas. I think. Is that just what I think, or what do you think? Yeah? You agree? Let's hear an amen. Amen. All right. All right, we're tracking. But you know, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever prayed an audacious, crazy, faith-filled prayer that is so beyond reason or logic? Have you prayed that kind of prayer before? Yeah? Did God answer it?
Yes.
Are you still waiting for him to answer it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Have you given up?
No.
I don't believe you, some of you. Sometimes prayers go unanswered. And the temptation could be to give up. Or they get answered, and they don't get answered the way we think they should be answered. And we reject that answer. Or we reject the message tied to that answer. The Word of God. Or maybe God has given you a messenger that has spoken that message, that answer into your life, and you don't want to hear it either. Can happen. Because you know what? I think sometimes we put limits around what God can do. We put limitations on his ability. So we are looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 25. And we're going to look at the first three verses. Turn, if you have your Bibles, let's turn there together. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abia in the Hebrew, that's how you pronounce it. The B becomes a V. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and righteous requirements of the Lord. Is somebody playing a xylophone in there somewhere? But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. So let's start with Herod. You guys remember King Herod? Herod the Great, they called him. Well, you know what? In many ways, he was great. He built many architectural projects. He actually refurbished the temple of God. So the second temple, okay, after the temple was destroyed, the temple of Solomon, he rebuilt, or actually Nehemiah and those that were called back to Jerusalem rebuilt the temple, but then Herod made it even better. Okay? He put a lot into it. He also built Masada, which was a fortress, and Herodian was another fortress. So he was actually very, very good at these types of things. He was also a great military leader, believe it or not. But also, he was extremely cruel, paranoid. He actually attacked his own family, his own household. He killed several members, his sons, a wife. And I don't know if you remember later on what he did. He enacted a campaign of infanticide because he was out to get the Messiah. He was a brutal man, terrible man. He was a tyrant. He was awful. His name in the Greek means hero. In the Hebrew, it means wanderer, fugitive, trembler, coward. And that's actually really the way he was. So he may have been bold and all this sort of stuff around those that he was, that were his subjects, but he was under the Roman authority and he cowered under them. So he was a coward. And also he had a way of kind of manipulating the Jewish authority. So he had an understanding with the Jewish religious leaders. So I'm telling you this, not to give you a history lesson, but to say the time in Israel at that time was very dark. And we remember this because we know the story. But you know what? It's amazing that in dark times, the prayers of the saints go up to God, that he responds at the right time and unexpectedly. So not unlike our time, which we're living in a dark time, the time when the Messiah was to come, at least the stepping stones that were, that God was laying in place, it was a dark time. Terrible leadership, Roman occupation, corrupt religious institutions. Does it ring a bell? But then you have these people, or at least Zechariah the priest, okay, so we'll start with him. Now his name means God remembers. Remember that. God remembers. And his wife, Elisheva in the Hebrew, that means God is an oath or God is abundance. Remember that. Okay, let's go on. Well, it says here that the two were righteous before God. They were obedient, but they were kind of an obscure couple, okay? They were Levites, so they were the right pedigree, and he was a priest. But they were in that situation, which we know, biblically, that there's been a few women, great women of God, that could not conceive a child. So as you may remember, you've read the Bible a few times, you know the culture back then, even maybe today, that it was a shame. It was a shame for women to be barren. It was viewed as the curse of God had come upon them. But we know that that wasn't the case because Luke writes, they were righteous before God. But what did people think of them? I wonder. And the truth was, as women, at that time, they bore the majority of that shame. You know, and times are different today. But you know, I wonder where women are concerned when it comes to children. How much do they blame themselves if there's something wrong there that they can't conceive or something's happened? That they take that on. So there's things that we have in common with these biblical characters, which is a wonderful thing. Luke 1, 8 and 9. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before the order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary and burn incense. So this was a privilege for this priest because he got to go into the holy place. Now, in the position of the temple, the holy place, okay, now we'll look here and there's some stairs. So basically there was a curtain here. There was the altar of incense right here, and behind the curtain was the Holy of Holies. Okay? So the priest, Zechariah, he was given an incredible privilege. So now this was, he was chosen by lot, and the lots are called the Urim and Thummim. Thummim. So what would happen is the lot would be cast, and it fell on him to be chosen to go into this area of service, okay? Now, so what is this, the toss of the dice? Luck of the draw? No. This is God controlling a man's destiny at that moment. It is his providence. He chose him at that time to be able to go in there and offer the sacrifice. So these sacrifices were incense that was a special blend of aromatic spices. And you know what? It came up as a beautiful, fragrant offering to God. Twice, in the morning and in the evening. And verse 10 says, Luke 1 verse 10 says, and the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of the incense offering. So there were other priests that were outside praying, okay? And Zechariah is in front of the altar and he's praying. Now what is he praying, I wonder? Is he praying, Ana Adonai, please, God, Tishloach, set free Ha'am Israel, set free the people of Israel. Ana Adonai, Anaknu Tzrichim HaMashiach, please, God, we need the Messiah. I don't know, maybe he was praying something like that, but he was praying something at that time. And something happened. Prayer is like beautiful incense burning. This incense is symbolic of prayer going up to God. It's quite a scene, isn't it? Psalm 141:2 says, may my prayer be established as incense before you. The lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. See this imagery of prayer, this aroma that goes up to the nostrils of God, and God is pleased by this. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar. So this is happening. John, the Revelator, sees this picture. When he had the visions, okay? So he sees an angel standing by the altar, having a golden censer, it says, and much incense was given to him so that he might add to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And verse 4, and the smoke of the incense went up with the prayers of the saints out of the angel's hand before God. Beautiful. So where does that incense come from? Well, standing by the angel is the great high priest, Jesus, our intercessor, and he's giving that incense to the angel. Isn't it beautiful? It's amazing. It's like, on earth as it is in heaven, there's this beautiful scene, this interchange between heaven and earth. You know, and it's such a beautiful picture of Zechariah before the altar and the heavenly scene. Now, I know this was in Revelation, but it says, as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. There is this interchange that's going on between heaven and earth. And then, Luke 1, 11 and 12. And an angel appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. He comes right by the altar of incense. And at that moment, Zechariah was troubled, and he saw the angel, and fear fell upon him. Now, this is the usual encounter when someone sees an angel, right? The usual thing. Don't be afraid. So here's this big, towering angel that appears. What would you do? Probably be pretty scared, right? So it's normal so far. So he has to reassure him, which he does. And then the next two verses, the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. And you will have great gladness, and you will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet while he's still in his mother's womb." And this calling on this son that was to be, John, he would turn many sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. And he would go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God has spoken. After what was known as silent years, for 400 years since the conclusion of the book of Malachi. So historically, this period that just happened prior to that was 400 years of God being silent. And all of a sudden, an angel appears at the prayers of Zechariah. The silent years. Do you know what the silent years were? God wasn't speaking. There was no prophet. There was hardly any interaction. That doesn't mean God wasn't doing anything. But at the end of the book of Malachi, the conclusion of the book of Malachi, which talks about John the Baptist coming, those very verses I just read, turning the hearts of the fathers to their children, that was the end of the book of Malachi. Then 400 years of nothing. Now, there was something that happened. The Maccabean revolt. There was some major things that happened. And God was intervening at that time. So the whole story of Hanukkah is about the Maccabean revolt. God was still working, but the prophets weren't speaking. There was no angel speaking until now. John was to be the fulfillment of prophetic promises in Isaiah 40 verse 3, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." This was going to be a very special child. So imagine, you're praying and praying and praying as they were, and all of a sudden, the prayer is going to be answered, or the prayer is answered. It's like your desire, their desire for a child, entwined with the grand purposes of God to bring the Messiah for the nation of Israel. Amazing. Could it be that some of the prayers that you're praying right now could be tied in with what God wants to do in His second coming? You ever thought about that? Some of these big, wild prayers, audacious prayers that maybe you're praying right now, that maybe you've all but given up on. Maybe God is going to do something amazing. Not tied in with the first coming, but tied in with the second coming. You never know. You don't know. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Psalm 145:18, "Yahweh is near to those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." How did the Lord teach his disciples to pray? In Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." You know, this couple were praying for a child, and it was their desire. It's what they wanted. But this was the will of God. God intertwined what they desired with his will. And you know, he does that today still. The question is, how will we react? 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." You know, when we were in Israel for the first time in 2003, there was like a whistle. Did I just whistle? Now you're awake, right? Because I'm whistling. And we were praying these prayers, you know, and we were like proclaiming and saying, you know, this is the kinds of things we were saying. That Muslims would dream dreams and have visions, and that they would come to Christ, and that they would meet the man in white. And we were praying these things, and we were praying that Jews would come to know Jesus as well, from the Orthodox background, and that they would come and they would be set free. And you know what? We didn't see anything happen. Nothing happened, barely. Okay? Except for the odd miracle. I'm whistling again, aren't I? I gotta take a drink of water. But you know, when we returned to the Holy Land in 2011, and we did some more training with the mission there, they told us that all of a sudden, there was this big eruption of people, Muslims, coming to faith. And they had dreams, and they had visions, and they were responding. And there were Jews that were coming, and they were responding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But Zechariah, his response, in verse 18, he said, "How will I know this?" So imagine how ludicrous this really is. He's before an angel, he was just terrified. Now he's saying, well, how do I know this is going to happen? In other words, give me a sign. "For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." So this is the thing. This is a hindrance that not only happened to him. Okay, it's a fair question, okay? His wife is so old. He's old. How old was his wife? I don't know. Doesn't say. But you know what? At that moment, the man called Zechariah, God who remembers, forgot. Forgot what God did for Father Abraham and Sarah. Forgot all the different instances where women that could not have children, for no fault of their own, received a child. He didn't remember that. Instead, he wants a sign. Zechariah forgot to have faith, didn't he?
Yeah.
But see, the thing is like when you've been praying for that thing that you've been praying for, and maybe you haven't had an answer, are you forgetting to have faith? Is the thing that is before you, is it like having a child in old age? Is it something natural that just is impossible for you to see? And instead of having faith, that's the only thing you see. Because you know what? After a while, when your prayer's unanswered, sometimes, what does it say? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So you know what? You get discouraged. And that being so, that being true, it's not always an excuse. But it's understandable. He put a limit on what God could do. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, "For indeed Jews ask for a sign and Greeks search for wisdom." So these are things that I think sometimes we fall into. We want a sign or we want some wisdom. But that's not logical. What God is going to do, that's not logical. That doesn't make sense. He wouldn't do that. But listen, do we sometimes take what God says and subject it to man's systems, including logic, including those things that don't make, that make sense to us, but it's not necessarily the measurement, right? It's putting a limit on God. It doesn't make sense. Well, the thing is God has a way of doing things that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, does.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me. Well, the thing is, it doesn't matter. God is God and you are not. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and you are not. I am not. But see, the thing is that if a righteous man like Zechariah can forget to have faith, we all got to pay attention, right? That's the beauty of this season. Because it reminds us to look at the story, to look at what God does, to know that we serve a God that does not have any limits. And He will blow your mind if you allow Him to. And if you listen and you decide you want to step forward in faith, Hebrews 11:16. Remember this, brothers and sisters. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who draws near to God must believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. So now I'm not talking about name it and claim it. No. I'm talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, praying according to His will, and knowing that. Because you have subjected yourself to allow Him to search your heart. Is this your will, God? Yes? Keep praying. Don't put limits on God. You know, you think of Mary and Joseph. They had an encounter with an angel as well. And how did they respond? Well, Zechariah and Elizabeth, their life was going to change. Here they are, elderly, having a baby. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Eric and Clara having a baby? Well, I mean, you're not elderly, but you're stop talking. You know what I'm saying? So but listen, remember Joseph, remember Mary. They had a lot to lose, a lot in terms of reputation. What did the angel say? It was the same angel. Visited them and gave them a calling on their life, and they listened. And you know what? They were the young people. They were the young adults. The old guy, so used to serving God, in the routine, he was holy and righteous, he was a righteous guy, but he could not believe it.
Yeah.
Okay? Where this couple, both Joseph and Mary, received the angel's word right away. And they had to go through a lot. They had to look unrighteous to people. They had to go through a lot of pain and heartache. Loss of family, loss of relationships, all those sorts of things. They said yes. So, you know, my challenge is for our young people as well, is that when God gives you a vision or God speaks to you through His word or through a messenger, say yes. Be willing. Be willing to receive. Don't put limits on God. And you know what? Maybe you just might teach somebody else, someone older, to have faith. Verse 21, "And the people there waiting for Zechariah were waiting at his delay in the sanctuary. Where is he? Where did he go? What happened to this guy? Did God strike him down dead because maybe he was unholy? That might have been the thought. Verse 22, and he came out and he was unable to speak, just like the angel had said. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. And he kept making signs and remained mute. So, just like the angel said, it happened. And basically, he was put on the shelf. This wonderful news that he could have been a part of, sharing with everybody. Now, okay, he probably could have written it down, and he did later on. And later on, actually, in the story, you read, he was restored, and he actually had wonderful prayer and just amazing, anointed, prophetic prayer. So he was back after 9 months, right? But you know what? When we don't have faith, maybe God will put us on the shelf. And it might not be for 9 months. It might be for 9 years. So that's the thing. There is his discipline that comes upon us. Came upon him. Came upon Zechariah. If we don't want to listen to God, when he answers our prayer, and we're just like, no, I can't see that happening. I don't want to see it happening. I was interested back, 20 years ago, but not now. Well, he might put us on the shelf. You know, people prayed a prayer like this maybe. Lord, stir us up. Stir up the church. And you know what he answered? COVID came upon us. And then people are saying, no. We don't want that. But you know what? That was an answered prayer. Because the church needed to be stirred up. Right? Last time I preached, judgment starts with the house of God. Remember that? Well, we're in the middle of it. Answered prayer. Maybe all of us prayed. Stir us up at one time. Did we really mean it? He didn't answer the prayer maybe the way we thought. But anyways, he is God and we're not. So Zechariah continues on, and he finishes his priestly duty, it says in verse 23. It says, and it happened when the days of his priestly service were fulfilled, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, conceived, and she kept in seclusion for 5 months. So they had the child the old-fashioned way. The Holy Spirit didn't come upon her. But she had the child, just as the angel said. And it was, obviously, John the Baptist. Yochanan, which means God is gracious. And verse 25, we read, this was the way the Lord has dealt with me in these days, when he looked upon me to take away my disgrace among them. So I'm sure she was elated. All the disgrace that she had carried now was lifted. She was going to have a child. And what a child he was to be, right? Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do far abundantly beyond all we ask or understand, according to the power that works within us. When God answers prayer, he goes beyond whatever we can even imagine. And you know what? We don't want to lose that as his people. We don't want to forget that. Because this was beyond Zechariah could ever imagine. You know, maybe a few years ago, yeah, a child would have been fine, but not now. And what a child he was. He was going to be the forerunner to bring the Messiah. What a responsibility. It was almost too much for him. But you know what? God is going to call us to be praying big prayers if he hasn't already. And we better be ready for when he answers. Are you willing? Christmas is a time for rekindling the embers in our heart that once burned bright with faith. Maybe our faith has waned a little bit. I don't know. Maybe not. But this is just an encouragement for you. When routine and perhaps discouragement of unanswered prayer. Maybe you had a period of silent years in your life. It's like God is there, but he's not there. It takes a toll after a while. Where we have put limits on God, when his messenger or his message comes, will you believe it? Will you embrace it? When God answers that prayer that you've all but given up, will you have the faith to receive it? No matter how impossible and life-changing. So we look to his second coming. God is going to give us prayers to pray, and they're going to be potentially life-changing, potentially bigger than you ever imagined. But embrace faith. Maybe what you're praying right now has implications to be part of God's kingdom plan. You just don't see it. But just don't put limits on what God can do. Amen? Let's pray together. Oh God, we thank you that during this season of Christmas that we have the opportunity to be reminded and challenged, but also I pray encouraged and comforted by the fact that you do answer prayer and you are willing to work in our lives. And you give us these huge prayers that maybe we can't even imagine. But Lord, I pray that you would give us the gift of faith in this day, that we would believe your promises, and that we would step out in faith, and that we never put limits on what you can do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
One more time. Oh, come, let us adore him. And let's stand together and sing that.
The Lord bless you as you continue on with your day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. We bless you. We thank you that you are worthy. We pray that we would each have a special encounter with you this season, Lord. Prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us. Just as we depart today, just maybe go and hug somebody, tell them that you love them, and we'll depart for now. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in and listening. Have an amazing rest of your week, and God bless.